express yourself. Whatever you do.
Talk Line, and this is Diane McGachran, and with me is
Joe Moses Jr.
And we're ready to go for 90 minutes of hearing from you in either calling or emailing us. And Joe will give you the numbers for that.
Yes. Again, this is Friday Morning Talk Line, where the show is driven by you, the callers. And yes, we'd love to hear what you have to say. The phone number is here to give us a call, or 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954. Or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org.
Okay, and today is May 11th, deep into May. This is the month of my birthday. So you'll be getting me something, I'm sure.
Mud pie.
Thank you.
From the ground.
I'll try and enjoy that. So there's a couple of events
It'll have fertilizer in it.
Oh, okay. So there's a movie playing this weekend. Actually tonight at the Cultural Center. It's called The Drums of Winter. It's the film preservation tour. This was that film that was made back in the 70s on the importance of dancing, native dancing, Yupik dancing, and what it meant to people, its spiritual roots and connections. And it's a really good movie. It's a really good documentary. So I just want to say that's tonight at 6 o'clock. And I'll say a little bit more about that after we take our first call, who is John Nick. Good morning, John. Welcome to Talk Line.
Oh, boy, I'm live. I thought I was
You are live.
Line.
Anyway, no, you're on.
Like when she hangs up, I can't hear you talking.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Some button, maybe she's got a push or something like that.
Huh.
So it can be vocal on the phone. Otherwise, it's a dead end.
Oh.
I don't hear no dial tone or nothing. I don't know if I'm coming on or not.
You are on.
Oh, boy, good.
That.
Thank you.
Yes.
You know, a couple of days before breakup, we went out boat riding and go check for birds, but we were out too early. The ones that were migrating up, like black ducks and canvasbacks, mm-hmm. not the ones that were nesting. They're starting to nest, some of them, so I'd say shoot what you think is not nesting. You know, the canvasbacks and the black ducks are here.
Uh-huh.
Or should be coming in soon. Maybe they're here already. But it was surprising to see. Shouldn't have been surprising to me. We've seen lots of moose, over 10 of them all day long.
Hmm.
And
where was that?
We've seen some huge ones. We've seen some in Greek and Kapungluk on the islands. Boy, that was good to see. I mean, make you feel good about the moratorium that we built up. You can look and see your moose in your own backyard, but they disappear when their hunting's open, you know. You just got to know where their favorite places are.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine this, Diane, and are you alone?
No, Joe's with me.
Right, Joe, imagine this. If they can leave the muskox alone, and if they can leave the bison alone, imagine how many animals will be around here. You can get a permit without having to pay an arm and leg to go to Macoriac.
Mm.
The permit down there runs $500. The airfare, you have to pay that.
Oh, I didn't know it was that much. Wow.
Oh, it should be. Wow. Just from here to Monarch is $500 one way.
So yeah, but the permit.
Either I'm close or, you know, within the proximity.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive. And then you have to buy gas. I don't know if they include that, but you have to have a guide too in order to shoot the right animal that they want you to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just go out muskox, where the male, where the female.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have somebody who knows the distinction,
right.
So you're gonna have to pay that. I've heard amounts of $2,500 or better to go to undergo muskox hunting.
Wow.
That's what I've heard from certain people.
Mm-hmm.
They can always call up and tell me. Maybe I made a mistake, but that's the thing I've been hearing. Now imagine this. If we can have this moratorium built up on the muskox and the bison, you know, I imagine there's two to each cow, right? Possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like moose do. Imagine how much bison and the muskox will be around. All we'd have to do is get a permit and go out and get one, you know, as long as we abide by the rules and stuff. You don't want to screw it all up when everything's laid on the table for you after the moratorium. You know, you use your common sense. But that'd be nice, wouldn't it, Joe and Diane?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
Oh, very enthusiastic, Joe. I don't know if you hunt or not, but I am a hunter. I love hunting. That's the way I grew up, you know, put food on the table.
Yeah.
But that'd be something to just look forward to. So all you people who think about shooting muskox or the bison, please think about the future about these. And if you know somebody who's doing that carelessly, don't be afraid to turn them in. You can remain anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
true.
Hold back because you're hurting your own community by doing things like this. You're hurting your own livelihood, your standard life of living subsistently. You know, if you don't do this stuff.
So yeah.
That's all I wanted to bring up. I was really glad to see all the motion that brought up the ideas that I put forth here. I hope everybody listening and try to go by them rules, you know. So, everyone, please wear your life jacket when you're out boating. If you're going somewhere in the distance, please have let somebody know, or if you could have two boats come along in case trouble comes along. Because it's always around the corner, you know, things come up unexpectedly. And if you're out there hunting, please be careful with your rifle and know where you're shooting and stuff like that, you know. Use your ability not to harm nobody else.
Yeah.
Use safety.
Yes.
Well, that's all I have. Please don't drink and drive and wear your life jacket and refrain from drinking if you're pregnant also.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, John. Have a great day. Next on the line, we have William. Good morning, William. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Awesome. You're on the air.
All righty. Joe Mo, how are you doing?
Good.
All right. Yeah. I heard my buddy on the radio this morning, first man on the radio. He's right, you know. Seen so many moose out there this time of year. That's the first time I've seen so many tens of moose all over the place. And when you think about that, like you said, these bisons and muskox, if we leave them alone, they could multiply all over the place like these moose do. Like they gave us some restrictions around this coast area, and these moose alone, man, they're popping all over the place everywhere you go. I just wish they would follow rules and let them be and let them multiply. Even these other muskox and bison, they see them now and then, here and there. But I hear in some cases that maybe these young guys, they shoot up anything around here. And even in my camp, and I had to try to raise dogs up there. I used to find my pups shot up and these kids there. I don't know. Anybody talk to me, kids, they don't listen anyway. They're out there. And moose population, I like to add a little more to that. Fish. At my camp, this time of the year, I always set out a little whitefish net, and I catch plenty of them this time of the year. But this year, there was nothing, only pikes, that's all. No little whitefish ever. And to top that up, when we were going home, I've never seen so much otters in the river before. Holy, they were all otters all over. They must be after pikes or something.
Yeah, those are interesting observations, William, because I heard somebody else telling me that they weren't catching whitefish, and they were wondering about that. Interesting.
Yes, ma'am. They show through all this winter, they were praising so much, plenty of pikes all over, and this year too, pikes all over the place, and I just can't get no little whitefish like I used to in my camp, just nothing but big pikes all over. And to top that off, I've never seen, I've never seen otters swim that much in the river before. There must be plenty of pike out there or something. But anyway, I thought I'd put the two bits in there and along with my hunting partner. So, and no birds. I go out there, nothing. Once in a while, a duck would pop out from some place, you know, just so deserted out there. There's nesting out there already early.
Huh.
Yeah, some people say they find duck eggs already.
I heard that a caller last week said that.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Seems a little early.
I've never experienced that much pike in there, and no white fish and otters at the same time in the river. I've never experienced that before in my lifetime. I was born here all my life. So anyway, I thought I'd put that in the radio this morning.
Thank you. That's interesting.
Thank you for listening to me. All right, have a good day, you guys. And boaters out there, I still see people without life jackets.
Eee.
Still enjoy riding around, see fish. They still never listen, you know.
Wow.
Make it hard for search and rescue people.
True.
Well, anyway, good morning, you guys. I thought I'd pitch in.
Good morning. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to read an announcement here about this documentary, The Drums of Winter. Today after Talkline, stay tuned for a live interview with one of the filmmakers behind the award-winning documentary, The Drums of Winter. Filmed in Emonic 40 years ago, the movie tells the story of dancing and potlatching between Emonic and Illaconuk and the changes to dance culture during the century before that. The film has been digitally restored, and we'll discuss why this film was significant and what we can learn from it today. So that's today at 11:30. There'll be a discussion about this documentary with the director.
Who was the
one
director?
Of the filmmakers, actually.
Who's the filmmaker?
The co-director, Len Kamerling, and Cecilia Martz, and the preservationist was Bob Curtis Johnson, but Cecilia Martz was very active because I think she was a professor at the time with Alaska Native Studies, maybe. Yeah. So stay on the line and you can listen to that discussion at 11:30. And we have Helen. Good morning, Helen. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's on your mind?
I'd like to tell people who are drivers in Bethel, please slow down. We already had a casualty with a 6-year-old over the week, and then that person that got killed a couple weeks. I think people in Bethel drive too fast.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell people to please keep your camp clean and the river clean, and pick up trash from the water, you know. That's where our fish live. And I'm writing a book about my 9th great-grandma that migrated down from Three-Step Mountains down here to this area. They were reindeer herders, Norwegians, and one of the things that they really, that I noticed while I'm studying is that we're not taking care of our land as Yupik people. If we're not going to take care of our land, what are we leaving our children and our grandchildren? We have to keep our land clean.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but
yeah.
One of the things that I noticed, too, is that a lot of our traditional values are not, even though they're passed down and we're witnessing them and using them, we need more people who are documenting them, like me. And I'm scared to publish I'm on my 7th novel.
You're what?
I'm on my 7th novel. I'm scared to be notary.
Oh, you're on your 7th novel?
But what I noticed was that we had so much abundance, and then because we didn't take care of our fish and our land and our people, it's affecting our environment, and that's what I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Helen.
And for people on drivers, please, please slow down. And if you see an elder, I seen an elder walking, pushing up her poor wheeler, her wheel, and all these cars passing by, and they didn't even pick her up. She's an elder, and I was like floored. I was like, huh?
Hmm.
You know, a lot of people, we have compassion. Please show it. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. Helen's a novelist. I'm interested in how she gets information about her great, 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 great grandmother. Okay, so good morning. We have Lamont on the line.
Yes, I'm on the line. Yeah.
All right. Good morning. You're on Talk Line.
Well, good. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed the conversation so far, particularly the two gentlemen earlier who were talking about the need to conserve our moose and our muskox and our bison in the area. And I've worked with the Intertribal Fisheries Commission and the Cuscomb River Salmon Management Group. And we've been, of course, looking at our salmon numbers, particularly since our numbers started turning down the last few years. And we're still looking at those numbers, and we all acknowledge and all agree that we're still in the conservation boat in terms of trying to preserve our king salmon on the Kuskokwim River.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the same practices that we've observed and used in the past with our moose will certainly work with our king salmon also. And recently we've got some literature from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game that tells us just how far down the spawning populations have been here in recent years on some of our rivers up and down the Kuskokwim. And right now there are only three of our rivers, and they're the, just a minute and I'll read them off here to you. They're upriver rivers that have been protected by some regulation changes that the Alaska Department of Fish and Game made in terms of keeping us from fishing for our kings until June 12th. But the Bear River and the Pitka Big Fork, and then there's another river upriver, have enjoyed increases in salmon population. But other than that, every single one of our tributaries where salmon spawned up and down the Kuskokwim, those numbers are down compared to our long-term averages. And I just want to encourage our listeners to keep that in mind, and let's keep this spirit of conservation that the Yupik people are becoming known for here in the Delta. In recently talking with a good friend of mine, Mike Reardon, who used to be the director for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Wildlife Refuge, held up here, the refuge manager, actually. He was telling me how impressed he has been with the conservation attitudes that local people have here in terms of protecting our resources. And that's something that we certainly appreciate, and it's something that's certainly remarkable around the state of Alaska, rather than our population groups wanting to exploit our resources to the very last creature that we're after. We find our folks here in the Delta are really interested in conserving things and protecting these resources for our children and for our grandchildren into the future. And number one, I want to thank the public for that, and I want to encourage the public to keep in mind this summer that we're still in that conservation mode. We still need to protect our king salmon as much as we can and try to get our averages back to what they were about 20, 25 years ago or something like that. And take some effort on our part, but I know in going up and down the river and talking to villages, the members of our Intertribal Fish Commission, the Kuskokwim River Salmon Management Group, all the fishermen that I talked about, people realize that and people are willing to conserve and cut back. And I think that's so good and says so much good about our section of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still in that conservation mode, and let's try to hang in there through the summer if we can, and just conserve our salmon as much as we can.
Hey, Lamont?
Yeah.
Joe Moses.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good. I know that, is anybody monitoring the fishing out in the ocean, or is that all international waters?
Yeah, theoretically, that's being monitored. That's one of the things we look at the Intertribal Fish Commission. They have numbers, but they cannot catch, you know, beyond a certain number. They have to move. And then there's also numbers that are established for the Unalakleet River, for the Yukon River, and the Kuskokwim River. And they take an average of the escapement on that river there, and if that, on those three rivers. And if that average falls below 250,000 escapement here on those three rivers, the pollock industry out there has to go back and recalibrate what their intercept numbers are. And I wish I could tell you off the top of my head, Joe, what those intercept numbers are right now. But we're right on the cusp there. We could be above or below $250,000 fish, depending on how you calculate that escapement. And that's one of the things we've called to state's attention and to different organizations around, but we're very concerned about that intercept fishery, and we're very concerned that honest escapement numbers are getting to that industry, because that is what controls how many kings they can intercept.
Okay, the only other question I have for you, I don't know if you could answer this or not, but is anybody monitoring the ocean considering what happened in Japan?
From the radioactive material debris and stuff you're talking about from Japan?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know NOAA is doing some work out there on that. I don't know of any of the results. I know that it's fairly low so far, I get that. But NOAA, there is some work being done, and maybe you could look through NOAA on the Internet and get some information like that. But I'm not up to speed on that.
Okay. No. All right. Well, we appreciate your comments, and we hope to hear you on a weekly basis.
All right. We're glad you guys are there, and thanks for making this forum available.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Take care. Bye.
Okay, we have a couple more callers. Mike Martz, welcome to the talk line, Mike.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to remind folks again about the screening tonight at Uksum Chowyai, the Drums of Winter. It's a digital restored master of a film shot in Monarch in 1977. It's going to be at the Cultural Center tonight. Starting at 6 p.m., there'll be a short dance, epic dance performance, and then the screening will follow. It's about an hour and a half film. And then there'll be a discussion period with one of the filmmakers, Len Kamerling, and the preservationist who was involved in the restoration, and my wife, Cecilia. It's a really powerful film about Yupik dance and its meaning for Yupik peoples. If you've never seen it, if anyone's never seen it, it's worth seeing. This is a free event tonight, 6 p.m. at the Cultural Center.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Okay.
I'll make some reminders. I know right after the show today at 11:30, we have a, I'm not sure who it is. It says there's a live interview with one of the filmmakers behind this documentary today at 11:30. They'll be on air talking about the film. Not sure who that is, but okay. Thank you.
Okay. The phone number is here to give us a call again, our 543-5985. 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org, and we'd love to hear some email if we can, but it's all up to the listeners.
I do have an email here, but I'm going to take the call first.
Yeah, please,
and then I'll
please.
Read this email. Herman, welcome to Talkline. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I was going to call and talk a little bit about our fishing and what's going on in June with our supposed to be our money. Elders used to tell us a long time ago, I remember they used to tell us that there'll be people coming here and they'll tell us you can't hunt and fish. And we're seeing it seem like, but they didn't tell us what to do. What they're supposed to do when they come and tell us that, you know, what I'm afraid is they keep telling us we can't fish, you know, by using numbers that are inaccurate in the weirs, you know. I'm afraid that we might eventually lose our fishing rights, you know, because there's a concern with what the escapement numbers they're using, because the people who do the fly, they fly up and they look at their fish. fall time, you know, and they're questioning, they're saying, how come we're seeing a lot more numbers than them weirs are counting? And if that happens again this year, you know, we've got to really reconsider this management system. I'm not saying everybody should go out and fish every fish, you know, but I'm saying, you know, God give us them fish. And we were here fishing before anybody come and tell us we can't fish. And they should consider us people who fish all our lives. You know, we got to eat. You know, who knows how it's going to be, but there's an answer. If you ask God to help us, in Jesus' name, he will. But I feel sorry for people who've been fishing all their lives, and all of a sudden these come people to us with this technology that might be inaccurate. 1 year they had come with sonar, you call them guy managers, they pointed to the ground and they tell people there's no fish. We've got to be careful who we're counting on to tell us. But I hope, Lord willing, we will get our fish back. But the reason I'm calling is, more people need to get involved with our taking back our permanent fund and stop what the governor and the guys are doing to us, because they're taking away our kids' future college money. A lot of them can't put away money for college now. For like family of four kids and husband and wife, that's almost $8,000 they took away. In one lifetime, almost $200,000 they're taking away. And here, they're using faulty numbers too. They're saying the state's going to go broke and they can afford to pay for 400 women to go and kill their babies. They pay for their expenses even outside. And here they're telling us we're going broke. I know some people are saying that's a race issue. It never was our way to kill our babies before they're born. That's just like killing a close relative. You know, the things that the state is spending on is so wrong, and they're taking away our permanent fund. But so far, 17,000 people or 18,000, they signed a petition to recall this governor, because what he's trying to do is run again. You know, if they do income tax instead of taking away our permanent fund, like in the annex, be $500,000, that money could go to salaries and businesses, and they would get it back in their taxes, income tax, or they're doing it all wrong. But you guys need to go to the space. It's called www.facebook.com/save the PFD. The cap, F is capitalized. You go there and get a copy of that petition and stop what they're doing to us. It's not right what they're taking money away from us and spending things like that. We could spend it on the things that we need. But the main thing is about our fishing game. We really got to look out to how we're being run out here, you know, and really pray and ask God to help us in Jesus' name, and he will. You know, our way of life is being threatened out here. Okay, those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Herman. We have a couple more callers lined up. Martha, welcome to Talk Line. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question on what the results of the meeting last night at the city office about the new subdivision that's
Well, the proposal coming, out the of Larson,
yeah.
Mr. Lyman Hoffman's yeah. proposal. Okay,
I have a question on that because I didn't go. I should have, but I was too busy. But anyway, I wanted to say about that when the land selection first came on, because I had been coming here since the 50s, my parents fish camped here, and I tried to select 60 acres up there where the Larson sub is, but I was told that the west side I couldn't claim because it was like wildlife, whatever. So they denied me that, those first people that were sitting there on land selection here in Bethel. Hmm. And then I was surprised to see that Mr. Hoffman was granted that that land I was denied when it first started. And I had claimed also land on this side of BIA, that high place up there down to where the Larson sub is. Mm-hmm. But I was denied that upper part also. I don't know what. And they only gave me 37 point something acres there. So I had to put my selection somewhere else that I don't even go today because I'm too old to go there.
Hmm. Oh.
But anyway, these are the questions I was...
Yeah, those are good questions.
Yeah. But I would like to hear what the thing is.
Hey, Martha?
Yeah.
That your native allotment and the one right behind you, was that yours to begin with, or was that or did Lyman get that?
I don't know how he... It was before he got it that I had imgujuk for it. But I was told that it was wildlife, where the wildlife, you know...
Like wildlife habitat area?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, where geese laid their eggs and stuff like that. Mm. So I was denied because of that saying. Those guys at the time who worked at the office here denied me that. So that's the question I was confused about, why I wasn't given that when I...
That wasn't part of your 60 acres of native allotment?
Nope. Like I tell you, they only gave me 37 point something acres there.
And you don't know how Lyman got the other portion?
Nope.
Okay.
I know it was after me. Okay, all right. That's what I want to ask about, see. And what was the results? Last night's meeting at the city office.
Maybe someone will call in and give us a little snapshot of that. I think there's probably a lot of other questions about that particular subdivision proposal and the impact it's going to have in that area.
Yeah.
80-something units.
Yeah, that's too much.
They're going to need a lot more dumpsters, I can tell you that.
Yeah,
and the water.
Sure, the
mess
up there.
It's going to, that's a lot. We'll have to see what they decided.
Okay.
Thank you for your call, Helen.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know, she
Martha, I mean.
Yeah.
The Martha. I'm sorry. Thank you for your call. I called you Helen, but you're really Martha.
All right.
Sorry.
Bye.
You know, it's interesting how the comment Martha just made, she was denied that portion of the land because it was...
Wildlife habitat.
And then here comes Lyman, wants to develop it, and he gets a permit to develop it, and it's still the same land that she was denied. So how is that possible?
That is a good question. One of those kind of good questions. So we have another caller on the line. That's Bev Hoffman. Welcome to Talkline, Bev.
Hi.
Good morning.
I don't know anything about that.
Oh, no, you don't have to answer that question.
Yeah.
So you're saying you're taking the fifth?
No, she doesn't know.
No, I don't know anything. Anyway, I just have a couple of things on my mind. I disagree with a lot of what Herman said about the fisheries and whatnot. There's a lot of different programs that monitor our fisheries here on the Kuskokwim. And, you know, people always want to go back to the good old days when the population was smaller, the boats are smaller, the nets weren't stretched out over the river, and, you know, there was commercial fishing, but way back, you know, in the early days, there wasn't. So we have to monitor this river. There's so much pressure on it. And we have to monitor the high seas. There's so much pressure out there, too. And so, you know, we just all have to be vigilant. We all have to be part of the solution. And, you know, I'm no longer on the working group, but there's really good people that work with the Fish Commission and the working group, local people up and down the river that try to understand the biology of what's happening out there, ocean acidity, ocean habitat. And we as human beings, you know, sometimes we're our worst enemy in how we take care of our waters and our earth. And which brings me to the next part. I was just, you know, a lot of effort was made along the highway by the correctional facility clients, and a lot of different people had been doing the river walk and certain dumpsters.
Oh, you mean for cleanup?
Cleanup,
yeah.
And I was just so disappointed in areas that I cleaned up, and there's more trash thrown down in the 10 days I was gone. And I biked that front riverfront area, stuff that goes into our waterway, and it was so disappointing to see people through trash, through their cigarette butts, through their trash, through their pop bottles, through, you know, just throwing it on the ground. And I guess my challenge out there is I was driving through places like City Sub and looking at our own subdivision. Our mayor proclaimed May 12th today as a huge community focus on, you know, let's get out there and clean our zones. And so, one, I want to tell all our listeners, whether we're in Bethel or along the river, that we all need to do our part to keep our zone clean. This is water is life. The land is our life. There are wetlands and waterways that we need to protect. And one of them is, don't throw your garbage. Teach your children not to throw their garbage and to be a part of, you know, clean up your yard, get rid of your old vehicles. The city is allowing free access to the dump for the big items, and you can fill out a permit form, and you can go and get those yellow bags. And ONC has green bags for recycling aluminum cans. So I just wanted to encourage everyone as we're going camping, or we're, you know, we live along the river or in our neighborhoods. Oh, my gosh, City Subs. Dumpsters are just horrible.
Oh my gosh.
And there's some other horrible ones. So anyway, I'm cleaning up in Hoffman Sub along Hoffman Road. We already cleaned up North Road. And I just want to encourage everyone, you know, take an hour. Go clean your zone. It's our life. It's our food supply. And really be conscientious when you go fishing this summer. And also when you go camping, teach your children well. And that's what I have to say today.
Thanks, Bev.
And go to the pool. It's Half Price Weekend.
Oh, Half Price Weekend.
Sponsored by the Lifesavers. Go get your exercise. I encourage all my fellow 60-somethingers to get out there and move it. Okay.
Awesome.
That's it. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Bev. Yeah, and if you have a mattress or a couch or a table.
Diane will haul it.
Or a refrigerator. And Diane, if you have a friend who you're putting it on their pickup truck and you guys are driving down the road and you have a choice between a dumpster or just go a little more down the road to the dump, choose the dump. Do not leave all of that outside of the dumpster. There's a couch in City Sub. It's halfway in a pond like thing, behind next to a dumpster, and it is pretty grotesque, I have to say. But
I'll,
I don't know how
I'll
to haul
give
that
you a toe strap. You can go pull it out.
Well, I'm just don't understand. Yeah, the level of trash is is quite an eye-opener.
You know,
and I want to say somebody or a couple of people went out to old BIA and they cleaned up the trash. Now, I had cleaned up some in one area, but I noticed by the, there's a shack that I think a lot of teenagers, they hang out in, and it's got a lot of spray paint on it, and it's just past the turnoff for the sand pit. Somebody went and cleaned up all along the road in that section. It was really amazing. I really appreciated whoever did that. Thank you. That was.
I was going to tell you, before you came and before Bethel grew, when we had Cleanup Greenup, the whole town was involved.
Yeah.
The whole town.
And Cleanup Greenup?
Cleanup Greenup, the whole town was involved.
Yeah, I didn't really see a lot on that.
We never went by zones. We never went by Blueberry Sub, City Sub, Kasayuli Sub, Larson Sub, Tundra mm-hmm. Ridge. We never did that.
Mm-hmm.
When it was Cleanup Greenup time, the whole community got involved.
Yeah.
Everybody. Because they made it a point to where they'd have whoever collected the most bags for the kids would win a bike.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what else they did, but when it was done, they'd have a kind of like a potluck with hamburgers, hot dogs, and pop and chips. But they don't do that anymore. Fun event like it used to be.
I remember that, actually.
When it was a community-involved event. And yeah. You had prizes for the children to gave an incentive to go out and pick to win a bike. I mean, now you could add like a tablet, laptop, or a phone or something.
Yeah.
Give them more incentive to go out.
Yeah.
Or like get a Xbox or a Wii or a mm-hmm. PlayStation.
Yeah.
Boy, would the kids move if they heard they were going to win one of those.
Yeah, but, you know, you also want... But to teach the values that
come on now.
Prevent things from becoming this trashed
point.
Out. No, I'm not. No, I think both things have to happen.
Uh-huh.
I think there has to be prevention of trash through the teaching of values and
that
through us practicing values.
That would be taught in school, like it should
no,
be.
No, at home.
Well, at home too, but still.
And what we
that's
do
what
as
the school is for.
And no, but what we do as adults, because we role model some of that behavior, I think. That kids pick up on. So there's that. It's all integrated, all anyway, okay. We'll go to our next caller, and that's Lisa. Welcome to Talkline, Lisa. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good.
I would like to let everybody know I work with Telesto Corporation here in the Bethel office. I'd like to invite those that have not already enrolled with Telesto to come to our office at 313 Willow to enroll. Original documents are required, our IDs, birth certificates, if name changed, or apply online at www.enroll@telestocorp.com. We have teams traveling to Chivac, Akichuk, and Stony River. We'll have $5,000 door prize drawing on June 2nd for submitted applications.
Okay.
Okay, have a good day.
Thank you. All right, I have an email here that I'm going to read.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Let me go give out the numbers real quick.
Go ahead.
If you'd like to give us a call and tell us what's on your mind, the number here to give us a call are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954. Or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org. I was gonna make a suggestion.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Mother's Day is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who still have your mothers, please do your best to appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
Show them the love that they deserve. And let them know that they're special.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me because my mother's not here.
Oh, sorry.
So, but to all your mothers out there, happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And I hope your day is blessed in every way possible.
That's nice. Thank you. Okay, we have our mayor of Bethel, Rick Robb, on the line. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Good Okay. Yes. Did you call with announcements or taking questions? What is your...
Well, I usually like the questions. Just to not, I'll do two quick announcements. We're off three. Okay, so we're trying to do cleanup, greenup, and I know a lot of people have been out there, and I think that's great, and I'm planning on being out there this afternoon. I wanted to announce a congratulations to Johnny Cochran, the local news, the Wells Fargo Volunteer of the Year.
Yeah,
so that's,
yeah.
That's one of our local people that's done a great job for multiple places of our community. I think we give them a kudos. And I also heard, I don't know all the details, but I understand tomorrow there's going to be a walk run for life for the Drews Foundation tomorrow morning. Walk for Life. Yeah, I think that's going on tomorrow at 10. Tell me if I'm wrong or no more than me. But I think that's really good for, suicide prevention and, to celebrate life. I'd like to
Out there. I'm glad you mentioned that. I saw something on Facebook about that, but I haven't seen a lot of posters or announcements. Maybe somebody who helped organize the Walk for Life, if you'd like to call in and tell us the date. I mean, not the date, the time tomorrow. Oh, wait, I've got somebody just gave me the poster. It's at 11, not 10. It's at 11. And the Walk for Life, a community wellness walk, and a 5K fun run. Are you doing the 5K fun run, Rick? And is it fun?
It's fun. Hey, I like fun as long as I can run real slow. Yes. My girlfriend's been
Wanting
to run more. So.
Okay, good.
You mean somebody got you motivated to run?
Yeah, somebody got me motivated to run.
She must be really in love with you.
Or vice versa. No. So that's tomorrow at 11 o'clock. It starts at the Cultural Center, walks through City Sub, and finishes at the Lions Club Park. It's sponsored, it looks like, by Drews Foundation. And you can look up Drews Foundation at drewsfoundation.com. So that's the Walk for Life. Yeah. Happens in different parts of the state, actually. I know Kotzebue does one. And so actually, Walk for Life, we got that. That name came from the Kotzebue Walk.
It used to be
Walk Out of Darkness, which is the American Suicide Association's fundraiser kind of walk. And what they did in Kotzebue is they wanted to have a name that had more life to it. Instead of Walk Out of Darkness, Walk for Life. And they didn't want it to be a fundraiser per se. They wanted people just to come out and be able to walk and just enjoy themselves. So we here in Bethel, we decided to do that too a few years ago. So I'm glad to see it happening every year like this. So tomorrow at 11.
Yeah.
Okay, Rick?
Okay.
You there?
I'm here.
Hey, I wanted you to change your hats and put from your citizen hat to your mayor hat. Is there anything going on at the city that we need to be aware of? I mean, people were complaining about the police department, and they were talking about the loose dogs, and then some lady called and wondering what happened to the Blue Sky subdivision at the Planning Commission meeting yesterday. Do you know what the outcome was?
Well, I don't know the outcome. I know yesterday at the Planning Commission meeting, that was on the agenda. We also had, the county had a concurrent meeting, budget meeting. And I know whatever happens, that has to go through the Planning Commission, and they make their decisions, and it goes from there. And then if there's any appeals on any of the decisions, it goes to City Council.
Okay.
So as a member of council, I'm actually not involved in that process.
Okay.
Because I have to, basically kind of stay out of it in case there's an appeal.
Okay.
So I don't know the details of what happened. But I do know, there is a process, and I understand Blue Sky is going through the process.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about the other issues that you've been, as a mayor, trying to resolve and maintain that all the other issues we've had, including...
Yeah.
Well,
the big issue that the council has been working on right now lately is budget, which is kind of not real newsworthy. It doesn't happen a lot, but the council has been putting a lot of work we're having 2 and 3 special meetings a week trying to hammer out next year's budget. The new administration is proposing, you know, some changes, some increased positions in the fire department, a lot of capital improvements, including a new fire truck. You know, they want some new other vehicles, some stuff for the city shop. So we're trying to hash that out and still maintain a balanced budget, which is very difficult. You know, that's a tough one. There's a lot of support to increase, add another full-time firefighter, you know, add one FTE, go from 7 to 8, paid firefighters. The fire department is really proposing that, and a lot of the volunteers are supporting that. So they're considering that proposal. We worked on getting a classification study for employees. The last meeting, you know, there was some press in the news about now it's a little going to be a little bit easier to take a junk car to the dump. You know, if you drain your fluids and take your battery out, it's free. You can take a junk car. So,
all the time, not just May 20th.
No, free. Well, I mean, not that the city's going to tow it, but if you take a car to the dump, a junk car, and you take the fluids out and the battery out, it's free. So a private person can take a junk car and just, well, the problem is that, you know, they're getting abandoned on sides of the road.
Oh, I know.
And as Harold sends, I know in the past they've been dumped in the river, I think that was a long time ago. But so let's make it easy to dispose of them property.
Yeah.
So if you take them to the dump and you drain them, it's free. You can take a couple cars a year, any individual. If you don't drain them, the price goes up a little bit, but it's cheaper than it was. And so we're encouraging people to dispose them properly.
And that's starting now, that they
can
do that
starting now. So you could do that today. So you could haul a junk car to the dump for free if you drain the oil. I think it's the oil tranny. And then you got to take the glycol out and take the battery out because those are considered, you know, toxic waste.
Wow.
And it's free. So that should be, one thing to make it a little bit easier for.
Okay, because I'm looking at that dead Subaru that's been in the YK parking lot near the road, near the main road, for probably 10 years. Poor thing. That thing. You know which one I'm talking about?
No.
You don't even see it anymore. See, it's like it's invisible.
You don't see it anymore.
You are going to see it. You work at YK. You'll see it. This dead Subaru station wagon that's right by the main road, right at the end of the parking lot. It's poor thing. Anyway. Yeah. Yes, that's a wonderful thing. People can bring their drained vehicles to the dump. Wow.
What was your deadline to come up with a budget to turn in?
So the budget is supposed to be passed by June 15th.
Okay.
So we have another month. But, you know, there's a lot of, it's a you know, laborious and arduous process. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And that you got 7 council members, should be a lot easier to go through and nitpick it, right?
Well, it's easier to get quorums for multiple meetings. So you still need, it's harder to act on anything when you have less members there because, you know, they pretty much all have to agree or you can't get anything done. But you need a majority of 4 to do anything. So, for instance, we had a meeting last night. 2 members were unable to make it due to personal reasons, and another member was at the Planning Commission meeting, so that left 4 of us. So it was more informational than action.
Okay.
You know, as an example. But, you know, we have a new finance director, and we have a new city manager, and even though I'm not going to agree with them on everything all the time, I think, you know, we give them kudos that they're really trying to do things right. And in the past, I mean, as we know, I mean, we've all said and we've all seen, you know, the finance department in the past several years, actually for quite a while, has been pretty weak. And now I think it's, you know, heading in the right direction.
With the new finance director, do you know if we're going to have a tax collector to collect taxes to enforce the local tax collection?
Well, at this point, there's no proposal to add another position to that.
Okay.
To add a separate person. And it's really hard to, you know, I mean, when you add a position, that's a great financial commitment.
Yeah.
You know, for the city, and we're paying for that. I mean, you know, it goes to the tax once again. I mean, it's the people's money that we're paying that runs all this stuff.
Yeah.
And we're paying through it our taxes, and we're paying through it through our fees. Or, you know, the other big thing that we paid is our water and sewer fee, and that's, you know, a big part of the city budget too.
Is the water sewer still running in the red?
It should be at a break-even kind of mode.
And is the idea of metering people's homes, is that something that's just too much to take on? Because I always wonder, like, with the city water, you could live by yourself in a teeny tiny home and pay the same water rate, even if you're very frugal, as somebody in a house with 10 people.
And the way it's set up now, that's how it is.
And I think that's a real problem, because it doesn't support being frugal and careful with your water. You end up just and it's unfair.
Well, it doesn't support being frugal and careful. It maybe, you know, you could say it's unfair. There's a certain amount of fairness, but part of it, you know, when it comes to piped water and residential, it's more about, you know, the price per gallon doesn't matter as much as the fact that you need a delivery system and you need, you know, people to maintain it, and you need a water treatment plant that's, you know, basically open all the time producing water. So, you know, the cost per unit, it's more the whole system than the cost per unit. So, you know, if I use 1,000 gallons and the next day I use, or in a month and the next day I use 1,500 gallons, it doesn't cost 50% more. It costs about the same to deliver that water, no matter how much I use. There might be a slight difference, but it's not proportional.
But it doesn't
seem fair.
And
then you have truck water where it's more about the number of truckloads that goes. It's more about the labor and the transportation than the cost per water. So it's really hard to equate it, yeah. Now, on the books, there is a price per gallon, you know, a minimum fee and a price per gallon, mm-hmm, per metered water. When the city subdivision water went in 20 years ago, however long that was, you know, the idea was to put in meters. There was put in meters, and they've never worked right.
No,
I don't think there's any meters. There's never been any meters.
Yeah.
That would be a whole other big capital project to put in meters on all residential houses.
Maybe you would have a different rate for somebody who lives in a tiny house all by themselves.
Well, the rate on the books is there's so much a month base rate, and then, you know, the 3 cents a gallon after that. I believe it's about 3 cents a gallon.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, there's like I think it's $50-$60 plus 3 cents a gallon,
uh-huh,
something like that. I don't have that in front of me.
Yeah, I got what you're saying. Yeah, if your tank is smaller, you would conceivably.
Well, no, that would be for piped, not tanked.
Oh, right. Okay, gotcha.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a base fee plus price per gallon.
Yeah.
But or there's the, you know, the flat rate, which is what everybody who's on pipes is getting now.
Right. The flat rate is what seems
right.
Not equitable.
When was the water sewer rates going up again?
I believe July 1st. The information I have is that, you know, we need to have the automatic rates until we get this sewer lagoon project gone through, and then we can look at not having automatic increases, which I think is a good idea to have it, you know, more based on need than automatic.
Yeah, okay.
So I think we'd like, you know, like next year this time, I'd like to be looking at not having an automatic rate increase, but have it based on, you know, on some numbers, some data, some need.
Okay. Well, thank you, Rick, very much
yep,
for calling.
Yeah, you probably got other callers.
Yeah, we got some other callers backing up now. And
yep.
But no, it's good. Thank you very much.
Okay, you guys have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Okay, so thank you for waiting, Fritz Charles. You're on Talk Line. Good morning.
Good morning, Diane. How are you guys doing today?
We're here. We're talking to you. I guess we're alive.
We're good. We're good. Good.
Really good.
Really
so
good.
So what's bugging you now?
No, nothing. Nothing ever bugs me.
Come on now. That's what I heard when we talk in person.
A couple of things. My first ad, Bethel Search and Rescue, posted all over the Facebook, is everybody's starting to go boating now, and there's still lots of dangers out there, especially right now with the ice you can barely see, and a lot of wood and a lot of debris out there. You know, all the mothers out there, you know, encourage your children to wear life preservers or PFDs or whatever you call it. You know, we can replace anything. You know, anything can be replaced, boat motors, gas cans, whatever. But you cannot replace life. You know, it's very important that you and your children wear your life jackets or life preservers. And, you know, we can't stress that hard enough, to please wear your life jackets. Even though it's just to Schwabe Island or Straits Slough or Steamboat Slough or wherever, just wear your life jackets, you know, it's very important. You know, this is the thing we do with Bethel Search and Rescue, is try and prevent incidents that where we have to go search and rescue somebody or some individual for whatever reason. You know, we're always there to be on a lookout or help somebody that's in distress. And if you see somebody in stopped or whatever, stop and ask if they're okay and whatnot. And, you know, you know, everybody should be helping whoever, whatever the stage they may be in. You know, that's how we were raised. Nowadays, that's starting to diminish, but we should try and teach our kids or grandkids to help somebody in need, whoever they are. Any questions?
No, but if anybody you guys still have your website up and running, right?
Yeah, it's updated. If something comes up, we update it. Whenever we need to update it.
Okay.
And, as far as the ice, as of last night, the ice still did not go out. It's still holding between Gallic and Fowler Island. If you don't know where that is, you shouldn't be out there.
Huh. Okay.
My 2 cents, you know, if you don't know where those are, you should not be on the river, plain and simple. If you do, man, lux to you. Wait for the next incoming tide. You will hit sandbar out there.
Only thing I noticed this year, Fritz, you notice how low the water is?
Yeah, it's been pretty low for the past 3, 4, 5 years now, Joe.
I mean, I know it's been low, but I've never seen it this low before.
Yeah, it's low as, same as last year, you know. We had thermal thawing, and the ice was really, really thick, at least over 5 feet thick, almost 6 feet thick down there by Johnson River. And the ice went out pretty early again this year, so due to really high temperatures this spring.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people are starting to find eggs out there, swan eggs, and what kind of eggs, and mm-hmm. maybe we should invite Paul Walker up here and show him how it's done for egg subsistence when you're alive.
Yes. Yeah. Paul, you mean that
the whale enthusiast.
Yes.
The whale lover.
The whale lover.
Okay, Fritz, okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Fritz. So we have John Carter from E. Good morning, John. Welcome to Talk Line.
Yeah, good morning. This is this is John Carter. I'm calling from E.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm calling over there to inquire two things.
Yep.
That is, when somebody comes to you and say that this is what's going to happen, and it doesn't, at least in some cases, it doesn't. One being, for example, business plan, the results are very visible when it falls. On the other hand, the plan wasn't put in place, and it multiplies 100 folds. Why is that? Was it because the business base establishment was in the middle of town, or was it planned that way? Good day.
Oh, okay. Thank you, John. I don't really have a response to that one. Okay, we have Robert Hoffman, or Hoffman Robert. Welcome
Hello.
To Talk Line. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Robert.
Yeah, I was just, I had a question and a little concern here about, and I was glad to hear about the alcohol tax, half a million or something like that. My question was about the cigarette tax and tobacco tax, that to include the alcohol tax that the city is bringing in at such a large quantity. And my concern is, with all this money coming into the city of Bethel, why is it that I'm hearing that the city of Bethel, or the council, you might say, the council is continuously going to raise the sewer and water rates in Bethel? You know, I thought all that tax money that the people paid into was to offset the hardships that they're having right now with the highest cost of living here that we have in the region, food, oil, gas, and all that. And now high sewer and water continuously going up, stated by Rick Robb himself.
Uh-huh.
I hope he's listening. Every year, and you know, it fears me to look down the road 10 years from now how much we're going to be paying for sewer and water, and yet they're charging cigarette tax, alcohol tax, and all that tax, telling the people how much money they're pulling in. And my concern is, you know, with all this money, I thought you were supposed to help the people a little bit by less paying for the sewer and water rates portion of it to lessen the cost that we're having. Seems like nothing ever goes down in that area. It just keeps raising.
True.
And I wish he'd call back and answer back on the continuous yearly tax that he's planning on increasing. And if that's the case for the whole city council, well, maybe we should have second thoughts there, who we elect. That's all I had, Joe. I was just feeling bad about hearing about all the money they're bringing in for themselves rather than for helping offset the pressures that we're having here in the city of Bethel with all the costs that are going up, and the city of Bethel intending to continuously go up every year down the road. And I was just wondering, you know, they should use a little for the people instead of for themselves and the expensive stuff that they're purchasing.
Hey, Bobby.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Bobby,
yeah.
You notice more and more people are hauling their own water?
You know, Joe, that's one of the things that you'll start seeing if they continue to pressure the people down the line. And I even heard on the news, even smoke firewood is like in Anchorage, they're talking about the firewood air pollution stuff. And it fears me that even down the line, we'll be forced to use fuel of some sort that, you know, doesn't pollute the air. And it kind of scares me a little bit for many of these people can't be affording high sewer rates of water and sewer, high sewer rates of high cost of living, food, and high fuel, high gas. You know, it doesn't seem to be getting any better. It just seems to be getting worse. Yet we're creating more entities in behalf of trying to help the people, but they really don't. They just wind up using it for themselves. And I'm just beginning to notice that, you know. And, you know, it just fears me a little bit why they're creating things that are for themselves rather than to help the people that live in our region here.
I noticed there's a lot more wood stoves out there.
Yeah, and if Anchorage starts taking away the wood stoves, it's going to come down, trickle down this way, And the big people with all the degrees and stuff are gonna, and the state, you know, they might vote it the same way in our region, and I'm getting fear of that because that's the only one of the only things that we got left that's affordable is firewood stoves, you know. And we have many steam baths that cleanse our people because of the cost of living is so high with water and sewer. They use steam baths like me, you know. So that's all I got, Joe. I just hope that Rick Rob calls back and answers my concerns about why all the money coming into them and them not helping the people with what I thought it was intended for. The taxes was to offset the pressures that they're placed upon.
Okay, Robert.
Okay, Joe. Hey, have a good day.
Yeah,
bye
you
now.
Too.
All right, thank you. Good morning, Renee. You're on Talk Line.
Good morning. This
Bring
is
your
Renee.
Announcements. Yes.
Hi. I'm just going to share a little bit about things that are happening here. Number one, there's a movie tonight, Drums of Winter. So they may have called in about that already, but that's going to be happening tonight as a preview. So everybody's invited. I think it's at 6. So come on by. And then we have the summer art camps. Got a lot of them this year. The first one starts May 29th. And it's the Creative Clay one, and there's one every single week, and sometimes there's two a week, and they run through the end of the month. And I'm not going to list them all, but we have 10. So if you're interested in having your kids go to summer art camps and native art camp and dance camp and theater camp and creative writing camp, call Laura Ellsworth at 543-4515, and she's doing all the registration. So that's the main thing. Oh, and Saturday market, May 20th.
Okay.
If you're selling baked goods, please call me ahead of time. I'm going to try to limit just baked goods to 5 this time. And that might not be an issue. So I haven't had a lot of people call.
Why are you going to limit that?
Well, at the last market, over a third of my vendors were baked goods, and they didn't sell out because there were so many of them. So I'm hoping if we limit it to like 5, that the people who bring, you know, spend all the time cooking the cinnamon rolls and the cookies and the fry bread won't be taking home bags full and, you know, basically not making any money and spending money. Because I want people to make money when they come to market. That's the whole idea.
Okay.
So that's the only reason I'm trying to limit the baked goods is so that everybody can have, and then rotate it. You know, next time new people can do it. I just don't want to short anybody.
What do you mean limiting the baked goods? Like, do you mean the sellers can sell? Only
yeah.
They should only bring a certain amount to sell?
No, that is not what I mean. What
I mean, there's
5 people selling as opposed to 15.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, I had of the 30 vendors I had last time, 10 of them were selling baked goods, and they didn't sell out, and I felt bad for them because they spent all this time and money making these wonderfully delicious things, but. You know, there were so many that they didn't, it was too big of a market for the clientele.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, but every Saturday market's not going to be the same.
That's absolutely right. Like I said, I've only had 2 people call me so far saying that they were going to do baked goods. So maybe I won't have hardly any this time.
No.
Because they all got frustrated last time.
Yeah, well, you just got to go with supply and demand.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to help with.
Okay.
So they can call me here at 543-4538, and market's not this Saturday because it's KLA's graduation, but the Saturday after that.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks, Renee.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Our next caller is Vernon. Welcome to Talk Line, Vernon. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. This is Vernon calling from Dolan Gold, and we just had our open house there in Bethel, and I was going to say thank you, Koyana, to all the folks that attended the open house. It was held this past Wednesday on May 10th, which was Mining Day, and we had a great turnout from a lot of Bethel community members and the surrounding villages. They were asking questions, comments. They voiced their concerns. So I just wanted to say a big thank you to all the folks that attended. I think it was great and good to hear from the folks about all their comments and concerns. And also wanted to remind the communities out there that haven't applied for the Cleanup Greenup funds. We have about 10 outstanding applications that haven't applied yet. So if you're one of the 10 communities that haven't applied for the funds yet, we encourage you to give us a call at 569-0452 and apply for the funds for the Cleanup Greenup around the Delta. And also, we're going to be gearing up for our summer safety program, and we'll be distributing life vests around the Kuskokwim fish camps and some villages. And so we'll be seeing folks when they're out in their fish camps. To date, for the past 6 years, we've been doing the summer safety program, and as of the summer, we'll have distributed over 3,000 PFDs to the Delta region communities. And that's all I wanted to mention, and look forward to our next open house next spring.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you so much. Have a great summer.
Thank you, you too. Okay, and we have Howard. Good morning, Howard. Welcome to Talkline.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yes. Last week, I heard in the Senate, there was a senator that he made a comment about rural Native women.
Oh, you mean the Eastman?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. I didn't want to say that name because...
Understood.
Yeah, anyway... I know it hurt a lot of people's feelings mm-hmm. in this area because it just directed at Native women, you know.
Right.
Not many other. And he apologized finally, but...
sort of.
I hope they sanction him so that he gets kicked out or something.
Well, he was formally censured, which is like a punishment by the House and Senate, or by the House in Juneau. So that vote was this week. And so he did get that, and he sort of apologized, but if you go to his Facebook page, you'll see that he's not really apologetic at all, and he continued with his point of view. He didn't.
Yes, I did
so
do that.
That's too bad.
And I was just proud of our representative that spoke up for us, you know.
Yes.
Our people.
Yeah.
And
Zach Vansler.
But yes, I voted for him.
Okay. Good.
Anyway, that's what really got me fired up when I heard that, and I said, "Oh, gee." You know?
Yeah.
How could someone that represent us in Alaska say stuff like that, you know?
Right. Well, he's out of Wasilla and probably doesn't know very much about rural Alaska. Just has mm-hmm. stereotypes in his head.
Yes. about Bethel, I don't know why they're raising their prices of our utilities here. And, you know, the water's not any better. And we used to have people come around with a truck and pick up the items that, you know, were eyesore, you know.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore. That no. Community, the community's a long time ago, everybody worked together, and you could see it, you know, those days where people would pick up and get dirty, you know.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, back like Joe was saying, it used to be more of a community sort of event.
Mm-hmm.
To the cleanup.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. I want to tell everybody, if you're on the river, be careful. I've seen a lot of boats coming and going with no life preservers. And there were little young kids in the boat, you know, with no life preservers.
Yeah.
Please use life preservers.
Hey, Howard?
Yes?
Don't forget Mother's Day.
Yes, I won't forget that. because it's really important. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. We have a couple more calls in the last minutes, about 5 minutes left of the show. Sophie, welcome to Talk Line. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say happy early Mother's Day to all the mothers, especially to my four daughters, Lulu, Julie, Evelyn, and Marie, and all my mom's namesake. I love you all. Happy Mother's Day up and down the Kuskokwim and Yukon. Love you all. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you for that call. And we have Shadi from the YK Fitness Center. Good morning, Shadi. We're on Talk Line.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
All right. Good.
Just calling to give the weekly announcement. As Bev mentioned earlier, it is the weekend, so admission to the pool is half price, and that's covered by the YK Life Savers organization. So that includes today, tomorrow, and Sunday. So come on out for some affordable fun. I know it's getting nice weather-wise out there, but we're still rocking and rolling over here. Our new programs start in 2 weeks. So we have a condensed group fitness and instructional program schedule ready to go for the summer. So these classes are going to start May 23rd. And they're going to include some classes for the kiddos, and this includes jazz class, ballet, ukulele and guitar class. And we also have the normal classes for our adults. That includes aqua zumba. We have a new boot camp class, which is basically just like an exercise class in the fitness studio that runs 3 nights a week. Introduction to weights, our cycling class, and then, of course, Joe, our judo class. It's still rocking. We're going to take a hiatus in June, but we're going to program that until. We're also running a summer sports camp, and that's going to start in 2 weeks as well. So May 23rd is going to be our first day for that summer sports camp. And I just, when I was on hold, I shared our flyer to Bethel Bargains, and it's going on in Bethel, and that'll also be on our Facebook page and on our website. We do have limited spots. So if anybody is looking for something for the kids to do throughout the summer, I would recommend registering as soon as possible for that if you're interested in that. And that camp is going to run Tuesday through Fridays from 8:30 in the morning till 5:30 in the evening. And much like our spring break sports camp, we're going to dedicate right around 90 minutes to swim time, 90 minutes to sports time. 30 to 60 minutes to like classroom and knowledge time, and then we're going to have some relaxation time built into the schedule. That's it. You guys have any questions?
Well,
no, not me.
I see your judo class put Bethel on the map.
Yeah, so our judo class went to the state championships in Anchorage and performed very well. A few of the Warren's kids performed very well, and some other kids placed really good in the state tournament, so that's definitely a plus for us. Warren's been talking about that since we sat down and first had the discussions of programming judo here. So it's kind of cool to see his vision turn into reality. And we're just going to keep progressing and trying to improve the judo here. I see you in there every once in a while, Joe.
You're not wearing your gi, though.
It's on back order. I don't know.
Until you wear your gi, I can't put mine on.
I heard through the grapevine that you have actually done judo before.
Well, don't tell everybody that.
Yeah, you were playing me. Someone told me you've been doing it for years.
You're not supposed to tell anybody that.
Yeah, everybody's going to know now.
Yeah. Okay, so what else is going on over there? Anything else?
The big thing is our sports camp starting in 2 weeks, so we're going to try to program as many kids as we can in that. Our new group fitness and instructional program classes start in 2 weeks. And then something I failed to mention is going along with the community clean aspect. The first Sunday of every month, so we did it last Sunday, we're going to get together at 12 o'clock. I think we shared something to our Facebook. We're going to continue to share it. The first Sunday of each month at 12 p.m., we're going to meet here and try to conduct our own little community clean project. And that's going to run every Sunday, weather permitting. And there's a Google Doc. It's like a nice little sign-up sheet that I have created. If anybody wants to sign up, it'll be a good way to, like Bev was speaking to and a couple other callers were speaking to, just cleaning up the area. We're going to focus on different boroughs each week. So the first week, I think there was only 3 participants last Sunday, so we hopefully can double that number each week and we can start hitting some bigger areas. So if we start right around the fitness center and then spread out the city sub or focus on Pinky's Park and then just keep working around the community. So I'll be sharing that probably right around twice a week.
If you add an incentive to it, like popsicles, ice cream, hamburgers, hot dogs,
yeah, so
chips,
I discussed that with my supervisor, and we're probably going to tie a free facility access to participants. So if you participate, you'll be able to get into the fitness center once for a day pass, which is, I mean, better than nothing. Like you said, that's an $80 value, so I think it's worth it.
Yeah, but you got to remember, kids, it's summertime, they want something cold and like ice cream and popsicles and...
That's a very good point.
You know, you got to give them that, okay, what am I going to get if I come help you attitude.
Well, sometimes it's just fun to be out doing stuff together,
hey,
and they
don't
always
ruin
have
it
to
now.
Have well, they don't always have to have that.
Of course, you got to give them a reason to come.
No, well, okay.
You have to.
Maybe
otherwise,
we can just incentivize them, Joe, by getting to hang out with all of us together.
I think it can be really fun, and they don't have to gear up with a lot of stuff like that. That's my point of view.
Before you go, what's the cost of that summer camp going to be? You have an idea?
So the summer camp, it depends on if you're going to register for the entire week or if you're going to come for half days, full days. But if you come for all 4 days, 8 hours a day, that's going to run you $200 a child. If you have multiple children, you'll get $20 off. So say I have 2 kids and I register them for both the morning and afternoon for all 4 days, that'll run $380. So you get a $20 discount for registering 2 kids.
What about the low-income kids? How is that going to be handled?
So the low-income kids are going to be situational basis. So the YK Lifesavers organization does assist in special circumstances. So it would be situational based upon the leadership of the YK Lifesavers organization making those decisions. But from what I've heard, and I guess don't quote me, the YK Lifesavers organization can assist in special circumstances where leadership gives the okay.
Okay.
We try to eliminate the barriers.
Yeah, if you could do that, you know, they're not everybody's on the same level in terms of income, and you got some that are barely making ends meet, and if they can get their kid, you know, something special for the summer that really enthusiastic gives the kids something to look forward to and go and have fun where they don't have to worry about whether or not they can afford it.
Yeah, yeah. We'll definitely work to make that a reality. We're always trying to think creatively to ensure that every child or family can get the same amount of services as every other family.
So okay. We have to go ahead and wrap up. We're a little bit beyond, but thank you very much.
Perfect. Have a great weekend, guys.
You
all
too.
Right. And everyone... Thank you. And everyone, you can stay on for the interview with one of the filmmakers behind this award-winning documentary, The Drums of Winter.
If you're going to go out
to
have
next.
If you're going to go out to have a plan, wear your PFD. Please don't drink and drive, and drive safe.
Express yourself.